And I did just compare the JFK assassination to Chelsea and Jimmy's relationship. And I apologize for that. I'll make it up to you guys.
Dear Shandy. Welcome back to another Dear Shandy Love is Blind recap, listeners. Hello, Andy.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm kind of curious as to how this recap is going to go, if I'm honest. Yeah. It's sort of weird recapping a recap.
This is a recrap.
Yes, we're bringing back recrap. Yeah. That's a Bachelor recap reference for anyone who's new. Okay, so do we have any housekeeping before we get to this reunion?
Let's just get to it.
We do actually have a little surprise for you. I thought I would do it here.
Oh, yeah.
You have a surprise. This was sent by a friend of ours, Kayla Quinn, who I know through the Bachelor world. She has been watching our Love is Blind recaps, and she sent you something.
Oh, that's very cute.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
So I have an idea of what it is, but I don't actually know what's inside. Go for
it. Let's pull this out. All right. Oh, this is a straw. I have a feeling I know what this is. Wow. Oh,
that's
dear Shandy Stanley mug.
That's so cute. Bring.
Oh, Kayla.
Oh, Kayla.
Oh, you did it this time, Kayla.
Kayla, thank you so much.
Thank
sweet.
You. That's really cute.
It's enormous. Is this the size of a Stanley Cup?
I mean, that's ridiculous. This is a Stanley Cup. This is enormous. Thank you, Kayla. This is very sweet.
Very sweet. Thank you.
And funny.
Okay, Andy, let's get going with this re-crap. We open with Nick and Vanessa in the pods. He says hearing her voice, he'd want to boink her. And then
you don't hear boink that much these days.
No, it was a good use of boink. Yeah.
Boink's a good word. I mean, it's like a PG bang.
I like Nick. I think he's got a good sense of humor.
Nick is great.
And they say, should we tell them? And them turns out to be us, the audience members. And then as they're walking through the pods and through the set, they're talking about how the reunion will be done here on set for the first time ever and will include cast members from former seasons. I thought this intro was very well done.
Excellent.
A very strong start. Yeah. It felt very glossy and Hollywood and just exciting.
Love is Blind's got some money.
They do. But I got to say, I personally think it sort of went downhill from here. There was such a strong start. And by the end of the reunion, I was looking like at the time every 5 minutes.
This was literally sands in the hourglass, this whole thing.
Literally?
Oh, sorry. It was figuratively sands in an hourglass.
Yes.
It was. Started full and directly went down and accelerated.
Yes.
To the end. It's just the entertainment value just disappeared into thin air.
Does that happen with the sand in an hourglass?
Like yeah, it's like goes down and like you see the level starts because the hourglass is shaped like an hourglass. Uh-huh. So there's more at the top than at the bottom. So at the top, it's going down slow as it leaks out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it starts looking like it goes
faster.
Okay,
but the rate of the sand exiting is not any faster.
No, if anything, it might be slightly slower as the sand goes down, because there's less weight pushing.
That's what I was thinking.
But it looks like it's going faster because the hourglass is shaped like an hourglass.
Okay.
So my point is, I'm not sure that was that important, but my point is that the entertainment value accelerated down as the episode went in a direct line.
Yeah, I completely agree.
They should have done the exact, it should be reverse hourglass.
Yeah.
You got to start weak. Maybe start a little strong, you know, go weak in the middle and then build towards the end.
Or
but they just went big and then poof.
Look, I have to admit, we have not seen all the seasons of Love is Blind.
We have not.
So other than Blake and Giannina, which, by the way, we had them on a Love Fest.
Friends of the Pod.
Friends of
Great
the Pod.
Love Fest.
I will. Fantastic Love Fest.
Excellent Love Fest.
I will link it out here. Other than them, we've only ever seen season 4.
Yeah.
So, you know, Brett and Tiffany, they were great. And Kwame and Chelsea. Yeah. But I got to say, the repeated references to other people from other seasons, like asking them for their commentary, their questions, I found it really slowed the roll because, you know, so imagine having like a Bachelor, like after the final rose and you know, I know that they will reference people in the audience here and there, but I felt like this was really heavy. On the inclusion of former cast members.
Can we be honest here?
What?
Let's be honest here. This is deep reality dating TV.
Yeah.
People want to see car crashes.
Yeah.
They don't really care. They do care to see after a year that a couple they just saw on the show is doing well. That's like good update.
Yeah,
We're good. That's nice. Makes my heart full.
Yeah.
But after like 2 years, 3 years, like seriously, no one cares anymore. They want to see a horror story. They want to hear like, oh, they got into a huge fight and he threw her clothes out the window. Like, no one wants to see these updates. So let's stick to the matter at hand. Let's stick to what happened on the show. I want to see the couples on the show.
I think it's all strategic. Like, they're doing it to sort of pat themselves on the back and make you feel a little less dirty for watching what you watched, okay. Especially when you only get one successful couple. And apparently last season, season 5, there were no successful couples. So it sort of felt like they're like, hey, remember this show? It's about love. The Bachelor does this sometimes. Right, you know, right, when right. they kind of have a downturn, a lot of couples aren't working out. Suddenly they're like, hey, look at all these happy couples we've made over the years. This is what this show's about, love. Especially since, you know, Love is Blind in the recent years has come under fire for not having the most humane living conditions for okay. their contestants and not feeding them properly, letting them drink water when they need to.
Yeah, but that's apples and oranges. I don't care. That doesn't have any correlation to the fact that two or three couples have made it that far. That's not important to me.
I don't care. No, but I think that it's more like an image management thing. Okay, that's what this reunion felt like to me.
So pick one. Pick one couple. Like, we have a guest. This is a couple. It's been together for 3 years. Yeah. And that's it. That's enough. Uh-huh. I thought there was fluff.
Yeah, I agree. It felt like they miscalculated how much time they would need for this. I thought an hour and a half was simply too much time. An hour would have been plenty.
Plenty.
Yeah. Okay, so now the cast enters. My best dressed here is AD in her high neck glittery gown. Yeah, it's sort of sheer.
Yeah. Clay was bummed.
or feeling upset about his life choices.
You know what my favorite dress of a woman is Ooh. The dress of scorn.
This dress was a dress of scorn.
When I see a woman dressed with scorn, I'm like, girl, you go.
I have fully dressed for scorn.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, I've been dressed for scorn as well. I've seen it.
Scorn's directed at you.
Directed at me. And? I've seen it. I'm like, excellent scorn dress.
Okay.
I applaud the scorn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does any part of you, when a woman who you used to be with is dressed for scorn towards you?
I know scorn is coming before it hits me. I know that tonight's going to be a scorn dress.
Yeah.
I know it. And I'm just waiting for it. I'm like, yep, that's a good one.
And okay, from a man's perspective, are you just like enjoying it or does it make you regret things?
To be honest, to be totally honest, me, because I'm such a neurotic person, it backfires for the scorn giver because I am flattered by the scorn.
Oh, so you're like, oh, I see you dressed for scorn. I'm going to do what?
No, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to bask in it because I know that it's very, there's two sides of a coin here. There's dressing to want to seduce someone and there's dressing for scorn and they're so close to each other. So I'm basically saying, you know what? I'm being seduced and I don't have to do any of the work.
Andy, I don't know if that's the proper takeaway.
That's the correct takeaway.
Okay, so you see it as flattery.
Yeah.
That's very funny, actually. Okay, so now we focus on the happy couple, which is Johnny and Amy. She looks like Jessica Rabbit, and I think it works.
Oh, totally. Jessica Rabbit always works, and it's an homage. And you know, I was thinking about, you know, Jessica Rabbit, 1988.
Oh,
isn't
wow.
Amazing. Did you see, you've seen it, right? Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I remember seeing her, but I was very young.
1988, to me, it seems like a few months ago. 1988 was 36 years ago. Mm. If today was Who Framed Roger Rabbit was opening today, 1988 would be 1952.
Ooh.
I always think that.
Yeah, is that what
I'm
you
a
do?
Very that's defeatist person.
That's such a strange way of looking at things.
It isn't that strange. It's crazy to think about.
Okay, but
when
what's
I went
point?
To see Roger Rabbit, having come out from now, was 1952.
Okay, but what's your point about?
My point is 1952 seems like a hell of a long time ago.
Okay, but so what's your point about Jessica Rabbit?
I like Jessica Rabbit.
Good point.
Thanks. You look kind of like Jessica Rabbit today. So like Jessica Rabbit at a funeral.
We learn they spend time with each other's families. Basically, they're still good. So there's not really much to talk about here because they're so good.
Now
we get a recap of the happy couples over the years. We're going to not talk about the other couples too much because, frankly, we didn't know who most of them were.
No.
Jeremy, now we learn he's seeing someone. Let's bring her out. And Andy, you were like, why are they doing this? And
I fell for it like an idiot.
The doors open. It's Sarah Ann. And you're like, oh, well, that says something. Yeah. It didn't even occur to you that they would still still be together. Why is that?
Oh, you know what? Honestly, I just had a brain fart. Obviously, it was going to be her. Can I tell you what this relationship is?
What?
This is a spite relationship.
100%.
Yeah, they're literally staying together just so they can be on the reunion show in spite.
Yeah. And what's funny, I love later on when Chelsea kind of calls their bluff.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh, yeah, every time I've seen you around, you're single. I liked Chelsea in this episode. Like,
no, only a couple times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we only bumped into each other once. Yeah. She's like, actually, twice.
Yeah, okay, twice, whatever.
This is totally a spite relationship. I am shocked they're still together. I just feel like Sarah Ann, she...
Oh, Sarah Ann.
She wanted to stay on screen,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like Sarah Ann's one of those people that wants to redeem herself. Like, she wants to be liked. It's pretty obvious. But she tries way too hard and goes about it the wrong way. And so all she does is make it worse.
I think Sarah Ann is 70% bad, 30% good. And we're not seeing any of the good because she's put in a position where her bad side is always shining. But there she's always on the defense.
Yeah. And it was interesting how much this girl's girl thing came up. You know, she's not a girl's girl. And she's like, how dare you accuse me of not being a girl's girl? And she was.
I don't even know what a girl's girl is. What does that mean? A girl who has girls back?
Yeah, like who, like look,
who like thinks, looks after her friends and
yeah.
A pick me. So I just learned, I figured out what a pick me girl is.
Okay.
I keep hearing this, and I always just, I don't care what the specifics are. I just assume a pick me girl is an asshole. Like it's like a broad term.
Usually, I think a pick me girl is a girl who sort of like subtly throws
right,
her
other
competition
friends under
the
bus.
Right,
yeah. She's like, I'm the one.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
she
yeah.
steals guys from girls, that kind of thing.
Something like that.
Something yeah. like that. Yeah. Sort of.
I'm sure Shandy's will come and give us proper definition.
Right, yeah, yeah, I want the best, most concise definition yes. of pick me girl from one of you guys.
Yeah.
And the winner will get a Lomi. No, I'm just kidding. that's from a Bachelor thing we do. Anyway, she is a girl who, when pushed, becomes a pick-me girl. I genuinely think Sarah Ann, when allowed to be good,
yeah.
is actually a decent human being.
I agree.
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, she hasn't learned the art of cutting your losses and backing away.
Yes.
Like when they showed that story, I guess, of her being like, this is entertainment, this is TV. Essentially, it was a, are you not entertained post, which
no.
did not age well.
No,
because of course,
you can't do that.
When Laura comes on, Laura's like, well, this was my real life. And, you know, my 96-year-old grandmother had a flight booked to right. come to my wedding. And we break up, and a week later, he's with you. I do love that Laura was on Zoom because she was working in Barcelona. Like, right. how badass is that?
That, you know what this is? This is a scorn Zoom. It's like, I'm so busy with such important, cool, exotic stuff. I
yeah.
don't have time for this nonsense, but I do have time to tell Sarah Ann, you are a pick me bitch.
The only thing that would have made this even more badass to me is if she hadn't been so dolled up. And of course, everyone was dolled up, right? Everyone's dressed to the nines, like black tie
yeah,
event
optimized.
Level. But if she had just been wearing normal clothes and normal makeup, I would have been like,
oh, yeah.
yes.
Like enjoying a bowl of paella.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm. A Rioja.
Yeah.
So Jeremy dispels this rumor that he was engaged when he applied for Love is Blind. I mean, okay.
Who cares?
Who cares? These little things, like I understand the reunion. I do enjoy that they like to dissect this stuff. But the thing about Jeremy is it's like, do I completely trust him? No. Like he gave his answer and he's never going to admit it, right? So it's like, okay, what's the point of this?
But
really?
That's like who cares if he was engaged? That's like if a guy's accused of murder, you're like, oh, he also stole a newspaper, you know, that day. Like, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely.
It's obvious that he was engaged before he went to the show. Like, I would be disappointed if he wasn't.
They talk about the location sharing thing. He insists nothing inappropriate happened. And it becomes a sort of he said, she said, where she's like, well, you were on the sofa downstairs and then the location was there. And she says that Sarah Ann was corroborated with him, was also keeping up the same story.
Who cares?
I still think probably something happened. They insist 100%
did. Something happened. We did the poll.
Yeah.
What was the numbers? 95% of people thought that at least a heavy makeout happened.
Yeah, I did a poll on my Instagram. It was 100%, 90%, 50%, and 0% of
yeah.
the odds of a makeout. And I think like 80% of people thought it was
100%. Yeah. You do the math, but it's a lot.
To be honest, this was even hard to follow, but I think the gist is the same. You know,
well,
they just
also,
don't seem that trustworthy.
That's also the strategy of a liar is to obfuscate.
I mean, yes, good point.
Let's see. We got towels. We got sheets. We got pillowcases. We got pillows, cuddle blanket, and
this should be used in the ad. So Andy, just as we were about to start this Cozy Earth ad, we asked ourselves, what should we talk about? The problem is with Cozy Earth is we have so many Cozy Earth products that we are often left wondering which one we should rave about because we do love them all.
It's so true. I can't go more than 20 minutes in this apartment without touching something from Cozy. I mean, technically speaking, I'm almost touching something from Cozy all day because these pants are taking a beating. Let's be honest. These pants are crying. They're begging. If these were a human, they'd be on their knees. They'd be like, just kill me.
Away from being worn so much.
Yeah,
I think it's the opposite. I like to think that things like Cozy Earth sheets, their pillows, their pillowcases, their waffle.
Oh, I know what you're gonna
towels,
say.
Their lounge.
They want to be used.
Yes.
That's their whole purpose.
Yes.
They're sad. If it was a cartoon about all the Cozy products and they weren't being used to dry water off people's bodies or worn on legs.
Or slept on in bed.
With your head on them.
They would feel like a failure. They'd be sad. If they were cartoons.
They'd be walking the streets, like kicking rocks and like, you know, walking by the railroad tracks.
Yes, they would be sad because they would feel like they had no purpose. Yeah. Meanwhile, Cozy Earth products, I cannot imagine any other product in their category getting more usage than Cozy Earth, because that is what you always reach for. The bed sheets made with viscose from bamboo, they're so soft and yet cooling. Like, we would not choose any other sheet ever. You don't reach for any other lounge pant. Come on. These are happy, happy products. Well, if they were cartoons, they'd be happy.
I'm telling you, if Cozy Earth started making homes, we would buy one. So if you've never tried Cozy Earth, we've got awesome news.
You can save up to 35% on Cozy Earth right now.
Go to CozyEarth.com/Shandy and enter our promo code Shandy at checkout to save up to 35%.
That's CozyEarth.com/Shandy, promo code Shandy, CozyEarth.com/Shandy.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
And now we get unseen footage of Sarah Ann and Laura at that lakeside party where we see Sarah Ann apologizing, saying she needed to get things off her chest. This is why she approached Jeremy and his DMs, blah, blah, blah. Saying she knew Laura would see the DM. She assumed Laura would see the DM. I thought that was interesting, an interesting angle to play. Yeah. And my favorite part about this is during that scene, you see Sarah Ann in the corner today, like watching, and she was like, like giving a really big, serious nod to everything she was saying.
Like as if she was giving the greatest TED talk ever. She's like, wow, I did really good that day.
Something about that. It was like she was drinking her own Kool-Aid. But no one else really was. The gist now is Laura actually warns Sarah Ann about Jeremy, basically saying he's a big liar. Watch yourself. And later, Laura even says that's how she felt that conversation started to go. You know, it was under this sort of guise of being an apology, but it sort of became her asking for advice about Jeremy to the woman who was recently engaged to him.
Well, that's like, you ever get in a conversation with someone you haven't seen in a while and they're like, how are you doing? And you're like, well, and you say one quick thing and they're like, that reminds me of a thing I did.
Yes.
And they start talking about themselves.
Yes.
I feel like that was just a blanket to cover up the fact that she wanted to get advice.
Or I think that she was just trying to apologize to make herself look good and without even realizing her desire for advice sort of came through here. Sarah Ann, I know she wants to be liked. She's just not likable in this setting.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I don't think she's a bad person.
No, I think some of Sarah Ann's friends would be like, no, she's really great when she's not on TV.
Yeah.
But she's bad on TV.
Yeah.
But she's also, you know, entertaining is a stretch, but I'll give it to her. It is mildly entertaining. Mm. That's what reality TV is about. It, you know, it picks these people with certain major flaws.
Yeah, but even that, the entertaining thing, for all out of all the people on the season to release a story saying, we're entertaining you. Are you not entertained? I'm like, actually, Sarah Ann, you were the least entertaining of the people on the show. Like, yeah. I found Sarah Ann just like not one interesting
the,
to watch.
Number one rule about entertainment, don't talk about the entertainment.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I don't find her entertaining. No. I actually don't find her entertaining at all. But yeah. I can see some people are engaged. She's creating emotion. It's like art, you know, when you look at a piece of art. Like, I may not like it, but everyone's talking about it.
She's like a urinal on the wall. Yeah. Everyone's talking about
it. Exactly.
And something small but interesting comes up here where Jimmy's name is uttered in the context of being a villain. And now in real time, we learn that Jimmy and Jeremy are not exactly friends.
No.
And we had that feeling at that Lakeside party, right? Yeah. Turns out that Jeremy, during the pods, had said something like, at least I can sleep tonight knowing Jimmy's the villain.
He's a pick-me guy.
Jeremy?
Yeah, it's pick-me behavior, right? Isn't that what it is? We decided?
Is it?
It's throwing your friends under the bus?
Is that what it is?
Didn't we already talk about that?
I think it's more like you throw them under the bus because you want to be picked.
Oh.
In this case, he was just...
Oh, he's just
throwing
a dick.
Jimmy under the villain bus.
He's a dick me guy. He's a dick guy. Dick.
He's just a dick. Turns out today, Sarah Ann isn't friends with any of the women. I think
Shocker.
That's pretty telling. And Jessica says that she, of all people, could empathize with Sarah Ann in her position because she also was not chosen in the pods. But they all agreed that she could have handled it better. Sarah Ann, again, it needs to be sort of like, she needs to be cornered in order to admit fault in general.
Sarah Ann exudes false pride.
Yes.
So he's just like even, so obvious about it.
I even felt her choice of hair, makeup, dress, all of that.
Yeah, everything.
Exuded false
pride. It's like, look at me. Like, I am, nothing's going to bother me.
Yes.
I'm on top.
But it
feels
the woman doth
weak.
Protest
feels
a
weak.
Little too much.
Yeah.
Too much effort. That to me, like, she came out and I was like, too much effort. And it's not that I didn't think she looked lovely. She looked beautiful, but it was the effort. It was like, it felt like she was like, she had too much armor on. It ended up backfiring where she exuded insecurity over confidence.
Yes.
And then Laura is like, wait, I can't go without mentioning bean dip. She apologizes for all that. And Jeremy does apologize too. He's like, I shouldn't have mentioned it.
Yeah.
I thought Laura was great.
Yeah, she was good.
She handled this really well. Okay, so we'll move on now to Trevor. They show the texts between him and the alleged girlfriend, and it's really, really cringy. Ugh.
This begs the question, why did this guy come back on TV? He should have stayed as far away from TV as possible. It makes him even more unlikable that he came on the show. Like, what is he coming on the show to do other than get screen time? He knew his apology was going to be bullshit. He knew everyone was going to make fun of him.
I think
he knew he was going to be in a very cringy situation. Why did he come back?
I know what you mean. I think he was trying to go for the hardcore fall on your sword, like self-flagellating, full-blown, like, I'm a monster. I can't do anything right. Apology, where he was hoping to at least garner sympathy, if not forgiveness.
Yeah.
And the reason this didn't work, I think, is because it still felt false. You know what I mean? Like, he was so silent for a minute and when he was first asked, like, what was going on there? And he's just sort of quiet. And actually, it's funny. AD says, say it with your chest.
Yeah.
Stumbling over his words to get it out. And as though he's caught off guard. I don't know what he was playing here, but it just came off as, in my opinion, calculated.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like he was genuinely sad. It felt like someone who was trying to look genuinely
his
sad.
His whole thing was calculated, but his calculations were off.
Yes.
The guy went on the show as a calculation, clearly.
Yeah.
This whole BS about how he was like, oh no, his relationship was toxic. But as soon as he was off the show, he was like, oh, I'm going right back to that toxic relationship.
Yeah.
I want to marry you. It's such BS. The fact that he didn't even realize that was obviously BS on the surface shows maybe a lack of intelligence or calculation on his part. I don't know.
Here's the thing. I think if he had just gone full blown honesty, this would have worked better. So if he had just been like, to be honest, that relationship, like, I was freaking out. I was wondering if it was the right relationship for me. This opportunity fell in my lap. I confess it was, you know, I felt like it was a once in a lifetime opportunity. I was really just interested in the experience. I should have broken up with her, but I was wrong. And then when I left, like, it made me really miss her. And I was just confused. If you just led more in that direction, instead of being like, oh yeah, that was really toxic. That's why I went on the show. It's like, don't call your relationship toxic. Like, when we have literally the text of you calling her pumpkin, right? Or I guess she called him pumpkin.
You know,
someone called
what?
Someone coming to pumpkin.
I agree that what you just said is the second best thing he should have done.
Yeah.
The first best is stay home.
Okay. So you think he should not have come to the reunion at all?
Would have been the most apologetic thing in its own passive way. Mm. You'd have been like, I don't even deserve to be on this show. Like, I'm persona non grata. I'm going to go back into the bushes.
Okay.
Or the hedges. You go back into the hedges, right?
Bushes. Back into the bushes.
What really is the difference between a hedge and a bush? I guess a hedge has a function. A bush is just a bush. Right?
I think a hedge
blocks. I think a hedge is function is to block off, like to create a wall of tree.
Okay.
And a bush is just a bush. It could be anything.
Any bush. Yeah, a raspberry bush. I thought a hedge was just taller.
I think a hedge has function.
Okay.
I think that's a hedge means it's hedging something.
Okay.
Anyway, the point is he should have sunk back, disappeared. Let's not think about him. But instead, he's like, I want to get more of that TV.
Oh.
I want to get more of that.
Or I don't even know if it was about TV. I think he was pulling a Sarah Ann where he was, instead of cutting his losses, was trying to fix it. But he didn't fix it correctly. He didn't have the right ammo.
I would have thought this was contrition if he had a different appearance on the regular show. This guy was BS from the beginning to the end.
Okay. He's asked if he came on the show for his career. He admits he came for good and bad reasons, but he insists he really was himself in the pods and on the show. And now Nick Lachey gets up on his soapbox and gives Trevor the talking to he deserves, because this show, Andy, is about love. Love.
Oh,
look at all these couples.
Look at all these
happy couples.
I'm glad he told me.
It's so unfair to the other people on this show if you're not actually there for love.
Mm-hmm.
This reminded me of The Bachelor. This vibe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, wrong reasons. Like, how dare you disrespect everyone else? Look, I agree that it sucks to on this show, you know, if you meet someone that is there for the quote unquote wrong reasons. But come on.
It's like hilarious.
Half of them are there for the wrong reasons.
It's not only, it's so hilarious on so many levels. But number one, yes, at least half of everyone who goes on these shows is there for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
And that's very generous.
Yeah. I think at best, they're just open-minded and willing to be single, even if they're not already single.
Exactly. Exactly. But the other thing that's so funny is how the show itself always points the finger at the contestants for doing the thing that the show wants them to do.
100%. Like, this gives them content.
Yeah.
They love it when someone's there for the
wrong reasons.
Yeah,
can you imagine if everyone just had peaceful, nice relationships? Everyone was there for the right reason.
And ready.
Everything just went along swimmingly, no drama.
Yes.
You think that would be, that there'd be no Love is Blind?
No.
One season, done.
For me, I think Trevor, what bothered me most was how poorly he played this attempt at redemption.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, you had to do better than that.
Embarrassing.
It was really poor.
It was embarrassing. It was a total embarrassment.
Yeah. And then he basically is told to leave. Like, he's like, can I go now? And then Nick's, after his soapbox speech, is like, you may leave now.
Yeah. And think of how much better that would have been if he had left before he came on the show.
Mm.
If he just stayed in front of his TV.
If he had declined like Matthew did.
His protein powder.
So Matthew did decline to come on the show.
Matthew was smart.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that at the end for some reason.
Mm.
Don't get me started on the order of events with this reunion. Okay, so now AAD and Clay. We learn that he has reached back out to her. It's been hard watching the show back. He says watching AAD's excitement through the show, he felt like the biggest dick. He says he made a mistake. He should have said yes. He loves her. She's the love of his life. And he says he wanted to say yes. He went to therapy. He's put the work in for a year. And he starts to cry now and says that he came out a different man, and he credits AD for that.
You know what's interesting about the biggest dick? It's like, let's be honest, the biggest dick is good. Like, a lot of people want the biggest dick.
Uh-huh. Not the biggest dick.
Well, okay, so you're saying that you don't want an elephant dick.
No, you don't want I think that a dick can be so big that it's not good.
I'm saying
anymore.
If you're in a small room of people and you have the biggest dick, that's a good thing probably, average.
Maybe.
For you.
Like, you might have BDE.
Right, okay. But if you actually have the biggest dick. But then it's funny how being the biggest dick is a negative. You're like, but not a good person.
Yeah,
it's
why
interesting.
Is that? That's a good point.
Anyway.
I don't know why that is.
My dick in the first place is a bad word. A dick is a nice dick. It's dick. It's what makes the world go around.
Yeah.
I mean, in addition to the vagina.
Yes.
But both together.
But oh my God, if you think about the word pussy, how it's also like negative.
Yeah. It's interesting how the genitalia is so, everyone loves what goes on with genitalia.
Oh my God, the C word? What's up with that? The C word should be like a wonderful word.
It's because of sexual repression. We've been made in you know, in history to think of the genitalia as bad.
Yeah.
You cover evil. It up.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to use it until you're at least, you know, 18 or whatever, married.
Married, Andy.
So then people think of them as bad. They're like, it's a bad thing. It's bad to be a penis. Yeah. Bad to be a vagina.
Yeah.
Until you use it, then it's beautiful. Do you have kids yet? Are you having babies with your penis and your vagina?
Well, speaking of
you
which.
You big dick. You pussy. What, you pussy? You're not going to have kids? You dick with your dick and your pussy. Dicks, pussies.
So speaking of babies, I thought Vanessa Lachey, she really snapped back into shape, didn't she, for this reunion?
Oh, she got some training.
Yeah. I mean, I confess we did not watch season five, so I'm sure with the season five reunion, she was great. But the season four reunion, Vanessa Lachey,
wreck.
She took up most of our recap.
Yeah,
for that
now we
episode.
Don't get to talk about it at all. No. She was delightful.
Yeah, I'll link that here, season four reunion recap, because we went off on Vanessa Lachey.
But you know what? She really, good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her, because instead of coming back with spite and being like, I'm just going to be even more Vanessa Lachey than I was in season four.
You're going to be more Vanessa Lachey. Yeah.
That's what Vanessa Lachey would say about herself. She came back and improved. Good for her.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Yeah. I actually thought as hosts, they were very good.
They did a great job.
Yeah. I like how they hold people accountable to things or like they kind of catch them in a lie. Like, you know, Trevor, for example, saying it was a toxic relationship. And then Nick Lachey is like, well, you said it was toxic and yet you said you wanted to marry her when you came back. Like he was really quick to pounce on these things. I just thought that you know, it was pretty good. Yeah. Okay. So poor AD is sort of struggling here. She's asked if she would ever get back together with Clay. And she's like, next question. Mm. Do we think that they'll get back together?
I think they'll boink. But they won't get back together. I think a boink is in order.
I can picture them getting back together.
I think a little get back together, but then not together.
I think that if they'll get back together and he's going to be on a tight leash for a while, and then, you know, which he should be. Like, I think that he has to sort of prove himself. You know, he's lost her trust, right?
The thing is, there's so much societal pressure on AD to not get back together with Clay. Because people are like, oh, don't be weak. Don't get back together with Clay. Don't do that thing you do. I don't think she's going to do it. I think they may have a little thing, a fling. But I think AD is going to put her foot down on this. And I don't think Clay really in the end wants it.
Oh, you think?
No, I think he wants...
Oh, am I just buying it? When he cried, I was like, I believe you, Clay.
You know what I think? I think Clay is one of those guys, it bless his soul, but he's one of those guys who... loves things that he can't have and doesn't love things that he has with women. I just get that feeling.
Oh, that's a horrible... honestly, that's one of the worst traits across the board. And not just in
common.
Love. Not just in love, in general.
In life, but it's very common.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not speaking poorly of him.
Yeah.
I think Clay is a complicated guy. I think he has a lot of good aspects to him. But I do think that he's one of those people. And that's one of the flaws that he's probably working on in therapy. But I do not think that... AD and Clay will be in a long-term relationship.
I think long-term, I just think that he has more work to do. You know, the kind of work he's working on. This isn't like, you know, a project for a season. This is like life work.
Yeah.
And this will be his life's work.
He,
is working on
of
himself.
All the people on this show where you say, you know, I've learned so much about myself. You know, I kind of think a lot of it's BS. Mm-hmm. For Clay, it's not. I think this was a great experience for Clay. It's shown a light right on his problems.
Yeah.
And now he's going to go try to fix them.
I also found it really sweet. You know, I called his father the villain last week.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people see his father as the villain, which I do. You know, if anyone's a villain, it's his father.
Yeah,
trust me.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really sweet still how when he was asked if he had had this, you know, the healing conversation with his father where his mother had asked his father to have this conversation with him so he could finally move on. And the gist was they kind of had, but in their own way. And it was not really, but also he knew what his father meant. I just thought it was sweet how even then he still spoke respectfully of his father.
Absolutely.
Like it would be easy to be like, yeah, I was really screwed. I'm the way I am because of him. But he just, I don't know. You can tell he really respects both his parents.
He is definitely an imperfect human in many ways, but I believe in Clay's soul. I think there's purity there. Mm-hmm. I think the man is a good man.
Yeah.
He's just got flaws.
Speaking of good men, it's revealed now that when he had watched a former season and had, you know, compared himself to other men on the show and he was like, I'm not husband material, it was Brett. And so Brett
is untouchable.
I know.
This guy. He makes everyone look bad.
Yeah. This was such a sweet moment.
It was really
where
nice.
Where he says that Brett was a perfect husband and, you know, they bond over this and Brett is very humbled and he even seems to sort of tear up a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also admits he came from a difficult family situation. Yeah. I mean, this is
a really touching moment.
I hope they're I want them to be friends.
I want them to be friends. I think Brett can teach him. He could be mentor him.
Yeah, he's like, come under my wing.
Yeah.
Like, young grasshopper.
Yeah.
I think that they'd be really cute friends.
I agree.
Sometimes I care more about the friendships out of these shows than the actual romance. With you. Okay, so now we get highlights from Amy and Johnny's first year together. We learn they still don't really fight.
Yeah.
They said they have, you know, maybe little arguments here and there, but not big fights. I mean, they're just so...
Yeah, I mean, what is there to say here?
There's nothing to talk
about. It worked.
About. Okay, so some highlights now is these former contestants, or rather contestants from former seasons, ask these current contestants questions. Mm-hmm. One of which was for Jessica. Does her daughter, Autumn, what does she think of the show? Does she let her watch? And a really sweet tidbit comes out here where Jessica reveals that her daughter had never really seen her cry because she really tries to keep up a strong front. Mm. And so I guess they unlocked a vulnerability door in their mother-daughter relationship. I thought that was sweet. And then towards Johnny, I'm confused. Were condoms not an option? You know what I like about Johnny? Is he doesn't get defensive or feel
no
shame.
Ego.
Yeah. Johnny does not have ego issues. That is a wonderful thing.
Very humble guy.
Yeah. He was just like, honestly, I wasn't really educated on it. And then I went and learned. And, and she was like, I had to teach him a lot. And he was like, yeah. Like, it was just really.
Is it possible that Johnny was a virgin going to the show? Like, that's crazy, right? For me to think that.
You think that?
I think it's like a 5% possibility.
Oh, I thought it was, that was not how I read that. That's
okay. No, I didn't read it that way either. But in hindsight, I'm thinking like it's so odd at that age to not know anything about condoms.
I think it's more likely that he's just sort of like a simple guy who's just coasted through his young adult life, having sex with girls who were all on the pill. As a lot of women are.
I guess you're right. You just, you know, honestly, like there are a lot of women on the pill and, you know, you just do the math. It's very easy to date two or three girls who are on the pill in a row.
Yeah.
Odds are there. Probability 100%. Says that's a reasonable outcome.
Andy, your hair is looking good. But it's looking a little long, if I'm honest.
It's a little big.
Yes.
It gets big. My hair doesn't get long. It gets big.
Yeah. It expands in all directions. You are due for a haircut, and you know what you will be bringing to said haircut?
The same thing I always bring, my Pros and my handy little travel bottle.
Yes. Pros shampoo, Pros products are made to order custom hair care. And I think it really says something that you are so, so dedicated to your Pros regimen that you will not even get a haircut. You won't let someone else wash your hair if it's not with Pros.
No, I don't want some inferior, not made for me shampoo on my head.
Yeah, you want your name to literally be on the bottle as it is with Pros. So with Pros, you fill out their online in-depth hair consultation. And let me tell you, it is impossible that you will not learn something about your hair and why it performs the way it does when you do this quiz. Pros takes into account the climate where you live, the water hardness where you live, and all of these things do play a role.
You know, it's like when you fill a life insurance policy and they ask if you floss and you're like, wait a minute, why are they asking me that?
Yeah.
I better start flossing.
Yeah. It sounds like a roundabout question, but actually it's all connected.
And you know what? Your hair doesn't have a voice. It can't speak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when you go out to a restaurant, you know what you want to eat. Basically, your hair may be a vegetarian and you're feeding it spicy chicken wings every day.
Oh, that's like a special kind of hell to live in.
Pros to the rescue.
Yes. Listen to your hair.
So custom made to order hair care from Pros has your name all over it.
Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get a whopping 50% off your first subscription order.
Go to pros.com/Dear Shandy.
That's PROSE.com/Dear Shandy for your free in-depth hair consultation and 50% off your first subscription order. Chelsea, now, what did she think of the conversation shown between Laura and Jessica at the bar? I thought this was handled really, in general, I got to give Chelsea credit.
No.
Chelsea handled this whole reunion extremely well.
She was great.
Well.
She's great on reunion, not good on not reunion.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. She handled this so well. And she was like, honestly, it hurt my feelings a bit, but you know, we've hashed it out. Jessica and I are great friends. And Jessica apologizes, says it wasn't her finest moment. And they just sort of like smile at each other. And it felt sincere. Like, it did not feel like they don't like each other.
Yeah. And you know what I think? I'm going to say something crazy here. I think after all that happened, somehow, I think this show gave Chelsea more confidence.
100%. I completely agree. Oh. She probably had to dig deep. And I'm sure that this was extremely hard. Like, it makes me feel a little sick to my stomach to imagine how hard the hate she must have gotten was, because we're not just talking about behavior. You know, the Megan Fox thing, which we'll talk about later, that, you know, it's just a throwaway comment she says in the moment because she's probably heard it once or twice. And then to have millions of people, you know, I think people go too far. It's not just, oh, she doesn't look like Megan Fox. People then talk, you know, swing in the opposite direction of how much she doesn't look like Megan Fox. You know what I mean? Yeah, like you could see how dark that could go. And I felt like proud of her. I feel weird saying that, but I did.
She climbed through 500 meters of the most awful filth I could possibly imagine, came out clean on the other side. It's terrible.
I love your Morgan Freeman. Terrible. No, it's not terrible. How dare you?
First of all, I don't even think that's what he said. But it was the gist of it.
Yeah, it worked.
It just wasn't that good. It sounded more like the Pepperidge Farm guy.
I thought you sounded like Morgan Freeman. Yeah. Sarah Ann is asked if Jeremy shares his location with her, and she says, yes, he does. He's two. I don't buy it. It's not that I don't buy that he shares his location. I just, this is not.
Whatever.
I'm
Who
not
cares?
Believing in them. Yeah. Jimmy now is asked what his friend, so the female friend at he had sex with, how she felt about Chelsea-ing this secret with the world, you know, when he had told her in confidence that he had slept with this girl. Turns out that one of his friends, I'm not sure if it's the same friend, but one of his friends is mad at him for sharing that.
I don't blame her.
Yeah, or him. I mean, we don't know who the friend is who's mad at him.
Yeah.
It might be that friend, but I mean, yeah, I wouldn't blame her either. And somehow it's not surprising that Micah, of all people, comes to Chelsea's defense here. She's pretty much like, she spoke her truth. If it bothered her, she needed to bring it up.
Whatever. I don't think so.
Yeah.
She's wrong.
Yeah, but you know, I don't want to rake Chelsea over those coals anymore because I think that she knows she did a bad thing and she apologized. Jimmy's asked if that's the moment their relationship turned. And he says it was.
Yeah.
It's almost like you saw the light go out in his eyes in that moment. Mm-hmm. And Jessica's asked about the chemistry with Jimmy at the lake party. And they both say that when they connected in person, it was more of a friend thing.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like that is much to production's dismay.
Such a dismay.
Oh, can you imagine? Oh, yeah. They were so wanting there to be chemistry.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, who wasn't?
I mean.
Come on.
Do we really think there wasn't at all?
I don't think we really got the answers we wanted here.
I think
Jimmy was throwing a little bit of cover on the fact that he was like, oh man, that's a good time. But, you know, whatever. He's a nice guy. I think, you know what? I think it shows that Jimmy's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a principled guy.
I think
anyone who thinks Jimmy's a villain has got it all wrong.
Yeah.
He is an innocent bystander at the worst.
Yeah, some people felt that he gave Chelsea mixed signals and was sort of...
Everyone give everybody mixed signals on this show. This show should be called Mixed Signals.
I mean, Chelsea also, I think, gave mixed signals.
So mixed.
Yeah, like she was trying to sabotage their relationship like every other day, it felt like. Anyway, I'm going to call bluff on there being absolutely no chemistry between them. I just don't really...
I'm going to call it too.
I think that this was the right thing to say under the circumstances.
Yes.
And they can probably never be together and maybe they don't have interest anymore. But I think in that moment, after they'd been through what they'd been through, I think... If there were no other obligations, he wasn't engaged. There was, you know, they were just met in person after having been in the pods. They would have dated at least for a very long time. Yes. So now focusing on Jessica, we learn that Jessica and Chelsea are friends, but is she friends with Jimmy? And now she starts coming at Jimmy for things he has said in interviews over the last year.
Oh, yeah, man, those podcasts really come back at you.
The podcast. Yeah. She asked what provoked him to do this. He says that on the other side, he's being asked why he didn't choose her. And so he needed to have his reasons. And this becomes now a thing about, you know, she's like, you accused me of storming out of her room after 10 minutes and that never happened. And he was like, well, that's how I perceive it to have happened. And it kind of quickly becomes a rehashing of their relationship, if I'm honest. I don't know. I think that there's just too much electricity there for me to think that there's no chemistry whatsoever.
Do you know what? To me, the dead giveaway for someone still having feelings is anger.
Yes.
I don't get angry at someone who I don't care about.
Yes.
I just laugh it off. Who cares?
And now it becomes a sort of he said, she said about how many minutes before someone stormed out, he had agreed that, they
didn't
were going to take an intermission.
Did not care about this at all. Who cares?
Who cares? I mean, she ended up being way more right because she had said 1.5 hours is actually 2 hours and 13 minutes total. But even then, there were some moments where he was like, can we take a break? And then they left and they came back together and all this stuff. Like, I felt dizzy watching that scene, like just thinking about all the alcohol they had been plied with, how sleep deprived they were, how confused they were. I'm not defending either person or coming at either person. I just think that neither of them were in their right mind at that point.
Yeah.
And I do think if I were in Jessica's shoes, I would be a little annoyed because I think she's been really respectful towards him. So she would be like, why are you saying I got a good edit? It sort of suggests something. You know what I mean?
Can I be honest with you?
What?
This is where the sand started accelerating for me.
Yeah. All right. So let's accelerate to the end because it really gets more and more boring, this reunion. Yeah. So Chelsea's asked about Megan Fox. Chelsea says, did you bring her? That's all I ask. That was pretty cute. And she
said, I felt like that would have been an easy get for this reunion show.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just get Megan Fox to come on the show and say hi? What does that cost? Like 10 grand? And no one cares about Megan Fox anymore, do they? She's doing like Transformers 12. Like, what is she doing? She's not doing anything.
She's being beautiful, Andy.
She's being MGK's wife.
MGK's wife.
Can you imagine being reduced? Imagine being Megan Fox, like in your prime. You're like, you're the it girl. Uh-huh. It's like everyone in America is like, that's the one. It's Megan Fox. And then you're referred to 15 years later as MGK's wife.
Honestly.
Hollywood is brutal.
Hollywood in general.
Hollywood is, if you be careful what you wish for.
Yes.
So few stars end up, you know, it's like boxers. Mm. Like you got one Floyd Mayweather for every 500 boxers who end up, you know, not good.
With damage.
Damage and no money.
No money.
And no money. Yeah. Joe Louis. You know, Joe Louis was the most, I mean, this is a guy, the fight of the century. Him and Max Schmeling is in this. Max Schmeling, actually a good guy, but he was in Germany during Nazism.
Know. Okay, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, it was a huge fight. It was the biggest fight in history. It was the rematch where Max Schmeling, Hitler's boy.
Okay.
Like, beat the hell out of Joe Louis, this black American heavyweight who was like the darling of US American boxing.
Oh.
And then they had a rematch and it was the biggest fight in history, maybe one of the biggest sporting events in the history of the world.
Okay.
And Joe Louis beat the living hell out of him.
Oh, amazing.
It just destroyed him. And then Joe,
I shouldn't say amazing, but I mean that is
no,
really
it was amazing.
Okay, I just mean, but like, Max Schmeling, I feel weird being like, oh, amazing, he beat the shit out of someone.
No, no, but Max Schmeling was not a Nazi. He actually was not down with the Nazi party. He was just, Hitler was like, he's a German, so he's my guy. But Max Schmeling was like, I'm not down with Hitler. Max Schmeling, this German who fought Joe Louis under Hitler, later in Joe Louis's life, when Joe Louis was destitute, he was broke. He was a greeter at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. He was the guy standing in the front to make money. He would greet people and shake their hands, say, welcome to Caesar's Casino. Max Schmeling was sending him money.
Oh my God.
To support him because no one else would help him. He was so in debt, the U.S. government was coming after Joe Louis.
Oh my God. So wow, you really know a lot about
this. Yeah, I know. It's a very sad story.
Wow.
And he died destitute. He was, I think, honestly, on drugs. He was like demented. It was so sad.
So be careful what you wish.
He was the biggest hero in America. He fought in the war. He refused to dodge a draft. They said, don't worry, you don't have to go. He said, I'm going to go fight in the war. He was the greatest American hero. And then he was nothing and everyone forgot about him. Even the government came after him for money.
Oh.
And this is what you get. Like you go into entertainment, you got to be so careful. You got to have such a thick skin and be ready for it because there's no way you end at the top.
Mm.
You never end at the top. No one ends at the top unless you die young. Heath Ledger ended at the top. Do you want to be Heath Ledger?
No.
How did I get into this?
Oh, Megan Fox.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Megan Fox.
I think Megan Fox is doing better than
she's
any
fine.
Of that.
Yeah, Megan Fox is fine. She's totally fine.
Megan Fox is, in fact, doing better than most.
You know what?
Think.
The fact that everyone knew who Megan Fox was when Chelsea said she looked like Megan Fox shows right there that she's
right
doing
there.
Fine.
Megan Fox is doing just
she's doing fine.
Fine. Yes.
She's no Joe Louis.
Okay, so Chelsea's asked about the Megan Fox thing, and she says, of course, she regrets having said that big time. She says she's handling it with grace and humor. That's all she can do, and it is what it is. I thought she handled
this
really
great.
Well.
Chelsea, did she get coaching on that? Like, she was perfect.
Yes. I mean, talk about redeeming yourself.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't try too hard.
No.
I did feel like I could have used a little more of a recap about Chelsea and Jimmy and their relationship, though. You know what I mean? I felt like they never really went there with them the way they did.
I honestly felt like it was a given that this was just not going to work. I don't think Jimmy led her on. I don't think that there was something
they
malicious
seem to be friendly.
Here. I think it was just kind of like a misfire.
Yeah.
And now they're friends.
I do
and no one cares that much. No one thinks that Jimmy and Chelsea are going to be together.
They're going to like marry each other.
I don't know. I guess considering they were like the stars of the season, you know, the reason everyone tuned in week after week after week was to watch Jimmy and Chelsea. Yeah, basically
but everyone
fight.
Knows that this thing ended in a whimper. We saw it at the carnival.
Yeah.
What is it called? Which fest? What carnival was that?
Carowinds.
Carowinds. The biggest ever.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I just would have liked a bit more analysis with their relationship dynamic. Like what? I don't know. Maybe I'm looking for something that isn't
you know
there.
What, you know what I think? I think you know what the analysis is. You want to think it's something else. Oh. It's like when JFK got assassinated. People are like, no, it couldn't have been that one idiot. It had to have been a huge conspiracy. People don't like to believe in things that are
too
obvious.
Yeah, too...
Yeah, they want big things to end with big explanations.
They don't
but
want
sometimes big things end with not good explanations. Yeah.
At Carol Wins.
Exactly. And I did just compare the JFK assassination to Chelsea and Jimmy's relationship. And I apologize for that. I'll make it up to you guys.
And now things continue to go downhill in terms of interest. But I mean, some feel-good stuff here. Bliss and Zach had a baby shower. But Andy, you said this is torture. I don't know. We were really tired watching this. It just didn't keep our interest. Mm. Brennan and Alexa, we didn't know who these people were, but I did like them.
Yeah, they seem nice.
Yeah. Alexa asked Brittany if they ever wanted to just do it to find the crate, meaning Brittany and Kenneth. So we find all the way back to Kenneth now. This is, I mean, what, does Brittany even need to answer this? She was just like, basically, it's her choice. She wanted to be sure. I mean, what a waste of time.
By the way,
Brittany's allowed to wait until marriage if that's what she wants to do. I don't know why this needed to be said.
Did you notice that Kenneth never said a single word in this reunion?
Well, here, he did.
Oh, he did? I was asleep. No, seriously.
Bad recapper, Andy.
You know what? I know when to go to sleep. I know when nothing's about to happen.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what happened. Basically, he defends having been on his phone all the time because he's a principal and he was gone for 3 weeks.
God.
And he's like, it's very important that his students rely on him. You know, he has a lot of tasks and responsibilities and all these things. And then when asked about the gaslighting thing, he said that everyone processes differently. And we learn now that he and Brittany are friends for life and they talk every single day.
Wow, I missed that whole thing. So I guess Kenneth did say stuff.
Andy, I don't like this. I want to feel supported in recapping.
I sat through 98% of this reunion. Okay. I missed that part.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on Kenneth's defense?
Whatever. Kenneth, I'm not giving him the dignity. I'm not.
For me, I get the phone thing. You know, he was a principal. He had a lot of responsibilities, all these things. I totally get that. To me, you can be on your phone and handle all your duties and not make someone feel invisible when they're with you. Like, I don't think it really excuses him just like not looking at her and just grunting in response.
Why can't
And when they're
just
breaking up, he's just scrolling his phone. I'm sorry. I do not believe that in the middle of that fight, he had some pressing email he had to send to some kid's parent that he just couldn't be present with her in that moment when she was crying in the kitchen.
When the cameras were on.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
No, there's times when the cameras are off. He could spend all that time on his phone.
Yeah, and okay, everyone processes things differently. He basically was like, you know, I called Clay. I was in tears when it ended. Like, he knows I was really upset,
whatever.
Blah, blah, blah.
He went on the show for the wrong reasons. Who cares?
I think Brittany is very forgiving. Like, to be friends with him, I think that that's more than he deserves.
More than he deserves.
Yeah. Kenneth is pretty... I got that gaslighting scene for me.
Weak. Very, very weak.
He's, to me, less defensible than Jimmy.
Of all the couples, no one can do better than Brittany.
Okay.
Yeah, Brittany can do better.
So much better. Yeah. Okay. So now we see Colleen and Matt. We had no idea who these people were. And now Matthew. Turns out he was invited to attend this reunion and he declined.
Smart man. I respect that move. Mm. Trevor should take notes.
Okay, so you think this was better damage control than him showing up?
Of course.
Yeah.
There's nothing. What is how you don't dig yourself out of a hole when you don't have a shovel.
Good one. I liked that, Andy.
Thanks.
Yeah, it did feel like he would just be showing up for a public flogging, in which case you need to have something. Something to show why you're there.
All it means is that Matthew is literally smarter than Trevor. That's it. He's just smarter. He's the same ego, same borderline narcissism, just smarter.
We get footage now of him in the pods with each AD and Amber saying eerily similar things to both of them. I mean, I do find this a little ugh. But at the same time, I don't know. He didn't stick around long enough for this to really grow into a problem. So yeah, I'm kind of like,
I don't
whatever.
Care. This is another thing. Chalk it up to things I do not care about.
Okay. All right. Yeah. If he had really stuck it out and really tried to make one of them choose him and really brought it into the real world, all these things, then I think it could become a little more sinister.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that he left, I think that he felt shame. I think he was like, oh, I've been caught. Yeah. Oh, wait, the girls are talking. They know I'm saying the same things. And he was a bit of a coward. He didn't own it. He was just like, this isn't for me. And he just left.
Yeah, he's at the poker table. He's down like, you know, $1,000. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know what? Tonight's not my night.
Yeah.
Trevor's just sitting there. He's selling jewelry. Yeah. You know, he's doing sexual favors in the alleyway. He doesn't know when to quit.
He has fake Rolexes in his trench coat. And you're like walking
that's
by.
That's really extreme. That's even more extreme than the alleyway favors. You really upped it. I like that.
So finally, Chelsea and Kwame from season 4. We learn now that she casts Love is Blind. And so they get to travel all the time and Amazing. Have that exciting life that they had wanted.
Wow.
Yeah.
How'd you get that gig? What was she doing before?
I don't remember, but I have to assume she was at least
in
partly
that business?
Qualified. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, it makes no sense.
Yeah. But they seem really happy. So there you go.
Yeah, they seem all right. Yeah. Kwame, I don't know. I can't read the guy. I know what's going on with him.
Yeah.
He always seems like he's equally miserable and happy. I don't know what's happening.
Well, there's definitely one spokesperson for that couple, and it is not him.
That is true.
But you know, they seemed happy, so we will let them be
all
happy.
Right, fine.
Finally, this closes with these former contestants being asked, what do they miss about their experience on the show? What do you miss about Love is Blind? And one's like, oh, I miss production. One's like, oh, watching it feels like therapy. Like they're saying all these good things about it. And to me, it just felt more like that image damage control.
Yeah.
It's like, let's have people talk about how they miss production to offset
right.
the actual lawsuit about what how they were all like
right,
not
what
fed.
What I really love about Love is Blind is all the excess drinking water I have. Just amazing drinking water.
Yes.
So hydrated the whole time. Just I have memories of deep hydration.
Yeah, yes. And the 7 to 8 hours of sleep every single night.
Oh, yeah. It was like a spa.
Uh-huh. And we wrap now with them all crowding around the table. It's a table loaded with food, which for some reason made me laugh. They all doing a toast over the food. It's just like, funny when they're like, we're starving. Let's go eat.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's a big table and there's like an audience. They're all just crowding around
this table.
Well,
it feels kind of like a funeral. Like at a funeral, you're like, oh, he died. It's very sad. And you're like, where's the food? Yeah, that's weird. I always found the food at a funeral weird. It's like, you know what? Just fast through a funeral.
Oh.
Just deal with it. Maybe it's not a time for eating.
I don't know. I feel like at my funeral, I would want people to have fun and eat.
Oh, I know, but it's got to be one or the other. If it's a somber funeral, just don't have food. Just all about somber.
Oh.
And if it's one of those funerals where the guy's like, I want it to be a party when I die, just go nuts from the beginning to the end. No somber.
Yeah.
All party.
Okay.
I say either or.
Okay.
I don't like it in the middle funeral.
Okay.
I don't like funerals in general, but that's
it. I mean, I hope not.
I don't like funerals.
Funerals are terrible.
I hate funerals.
Yeah, they're hard.
But I'm saying if I'm at a funeral, I don't like to be confused by like, okay, let's eat now. It's weird.
So at a funeral, at the after, I don't want to call it party, at the reception.
After party. Yo, where's the after party at this funeral?
So at the reception, do you eat?
I always eat. And I feel bad about it.
So you eat out of sympathy.
I actually, there's a point always in a funeral where I'm like, I'm getting pretty hungry.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's why there's food.
But then I feel bad.
Don't.
Because who am I to be hungry? I should be sitting there in penance.
No.
Penance?
No,
not for me. I didn't do anything wrong.
The person who's dead would want you to eat at their funeral.
No. At my funeral, I want no one to eat. I want them to starve. Just to think about me. Just sit there and be like, oh,
at least I can feel hunger.
Yeah. I don't care about food. All I care about is the memory of Andy.
Okay.
Anyway,
all right. Well,
that's
a good place to wrap.
Yeah.
All right, Andy. Well, we got to the end of Love is Blind season 6.
We did.
And look, you got a Stanley Cup out of it.
I did. I'm so happy.
It suits you. Even the fact that it's cream and white.
Yeah.
Hold it right. Hold it the proper way. Let's see.
What's the proper way?
Your hand goes
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. It looks so funny on you.
But it is called the Stanley Cup because of the Stanley Cup in hockey, right? Because it sort of has the same similar shape.
Oh, is it? I thought it was just the brand is Stanley.
I mean, I think it's a coincidence. I think they're like, I'm Stanley, and it all let me make a cup that looks like the Stanley Cup, okay, and also is functional in a car.
We'll let the Shandys tell us. Is that why it's called the Stanley Cup?
I don't know.
Okay, before we wrap, we are going to pass the mic on to our Shandys because these Love Is Blind recaps have just been so much fun for us. Yeah. It's been a hit. You guys seem to love them, and so we're interested in opening up and recapping other dating shows, or rather relationship-y shows.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not going to recap Survivor. We're a relationship podcast, but we love talking about relationship dynamics. So if you want to cast a vote for what you would like to see us recap next, you let us know. I've heard the ultimatum come up
a lot.
Perfect match has come up a lot. So yeah, just, you know, cast your vote so that we have an idea of where the majority lies, and we will keep an eye out for that. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you know what we will ask of you, and that is to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, follow us on Instagram and
TikTok,
leave us Apple and
Spotify
podcast ratings and reviews, tell your friends, and generally do all the things you would do to support a podcast you enjoy. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on Dear Shandy. Bye-bye. Dear Shandy.